This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio with guest host Jane Brown.
Okay, I want to riff off a post on Zoomer.com, the top five feel-good stories of 2025. One of which, actually the top one, is the Toronto Blue Jays almost win the World Series. It still hurts. So in a year when Donald Trump stole all of the headlines here in Canada, or almost all of them, we had the satisfaction of having Game 7 of the World Series here in Canada in Toronto. Is that your top feel-good story of the year, or do you have a different one? Give us a text. Phone lines still are not working, but we are happily accepting texts at 866-740-4740.
And now, time for the Zoomer Squad.
I love our Zoomer squad this week. Three very smart, very entertaining individuals who I will introduce you to right now. Liz West, host of the Afternoon Express here on Zoomer Radio. David Valentin, principal at Liaison Strategies. And Bob Richardson, public affairs consultant. Hey, Liz, David, Bob, welcome.
Good afternoon.
That was quite the introduction.
Yeah. Did you like it, Liz?
Thank you. Yeah.
So, yes, today, a discussion about the top feel-good stories of 25. Liz, is it the Blue Jays for you, or do you have another one?
Well, I racked my brain and did some snooping and research and whatnot to see, like, was there something else that gave me that warm and fuzzy, happy feeling? And I came up with zero, except for the Blue Jays. Thank God for the Blue Jays, yeah. But I think it also ties into the other, I guess, overall feel-good feeling, which was Canada taking pride in being Canadian.
You know what?
Which is, it took us a while, but we got here.
Yeah, we really came together. I think you're right. That's got to be right up near the top. The Blue Jays was kind of a short spurt or sprint, and the feeling together as Canadians took a matter of months, I think. Liz, were you watching the Blue Jays up until the playoffs? Was it something that...
No. Are you outing me? You're outing me now.
I want to know, were you a bandwagon jumper?
I was a total bandwagon jumper, but did it with both feet and my full heart. And I've already, now I know the players' names. I will be watching, you know, this year. Now I'm invested, although, of course, I don't know who's still on the team. But no, I had such a good time. It was a lot of fun. And I wish we'd had a parade for the team after, even though we lost, and I know you don't do that and blah, 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 but I wish we had a parade for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think people would have come out in droves because we kind of needed that group hug after game seven.
We did.
Yeah. David, what about you?
Well, you know, similar topic, not the Blue Jays for me, but I will say I was really pleased to see how big the TV show Heated Rivalry has gotten. And for those unfamiliar, it's a Canadian production about a romance between two hockey players. And I think the expectations were pretty low for the show, but instead it's become this worldwide phenomenon. And, you know, it's so funny to be on TikTok and see people saying, you know, my tax dollars funded this. They're like freezing on me. Government of Canada funding screen at the end of the show. And what a world where so many accounts are cheerleading and celebrating Crave, which put the production together. If you had told me that there would be accounts, you know, dedicated to love of Crave, I would have said, what? Under what circumstance? But instead, it's gotten a tremendous response, and it's great to see a Canadian production do so well.
Yeah,
because we know that it leads to more Canadian productions.
Right, Heated Rivalry. So, what is it about the series that makes you feel good?
Well, I what makes me feel good is a success, but it's great to see Canadian storytelling. It's wonderful to see a Canadian director really doing a great job at sort of representing the story about two gay hockey players who fall in love, which is, you know, pretty unlikely, maybe, but maybe not so much in years to come.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun, you know, despite the fact that it's about a gay romance, it's also a fun hockey show. So it's got the best of both worlds going on. And I think for me, what's exciting is hopefully this leads to more Canadians really hitting it out of the park internationally. And I'm reminded the last time we saw this with Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Oh, good point. Yeah, that was and continues to be huge. Bob, what about you when you think back on the year that almost was your top feel-good story of the year?
I'm with you, Jane. I was a firm bandwagoner for the Blue Jays. Probably popped on starting to watch a couple of weeks before the playoffs. And that run was pure joy. It was just terrific. I loved the players. I liked the team management. I loved the crowds in the Rogers Center, the Sky Dome. And I liked the national feel. Like everybody in the country loved the run too as well. I even actually was starting to feel good about Rogers. So I realized that I was getting far too carried away at that point.
Yes, you were. What was it? The toonie? What did they have? The hot dogs every week or something, yeah. Right?
So and kudos to them for the job they did. But I felt good about it. I was going to say my second choice as a late entry was Heated Rivalry. I love this production. It's a fantastic production. Great actors, great production. It's by a Canadian author. The director's Canadian. It was done for less than $5 million. It was supposed to have an audience of max 4 million viewers on Crave. Instead, HBO picked it up. It gained another 54 million there, and now it's being sold everywhere across the planet, and the audience is massive. So it's exactly the type of thing that you want to see happen with Canadian productions. Super proud of that. And so there are my two choices.
Okay, sounds good. Anita has texted in. And by the way, the text line is 866-744-740. She says, we love our homeboy Ernie Clement, and we were rooting for the Jays here in Rochester. So even south of the border, they were into how well the Toronto Blue Jays were doing. Let's go back to what Liz was saying about our coming together as a nation. I mean, it was full on Canadian pride, despite Trump in a negative way causing us to come together. David, do you have any polling stats or anything on that?
Well, we've seen just how impacted we are because we had a whole election about, you know, who do we want to be as a country? We had a whole election where the winner campaigned on elbows up, right? And never 51. So I think, you know, the more important stats is how much more Canadians are prioritizing buying Canadian. So we also know from the research it doesn't always work out depending on what the price levels are. But I think there's a lot more interest now in how do we support our neighbors, our local economy, and each other, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Bob, your thoughts looking back on our elbows up all year?
I think it's been good. I think it's been good for our country. I think it was good for us to kind of kick ourselves in the pants a bit and wake up and realize we might have been coasting too long. You should never have 75% of your market invested in one country, which is what we have been for the last 40 to 50 years. I think the Prime Minister is out. He could be a shoe salesman in another life. He's working at every angle, every part of the globe, outselling Canada. and that that's what we need to do at this point. But I think it's woken a lot of people up, and it's also given people, put a little spine in a number of people's backs too as well. When it comes to tourism, when it comes to buying products from certain countries that will remain nameless, and things of that nature. So I view it as a super positive, and let's keep it going.
And a springboard conversation from us all coming together as Canadians against Donald Trump's threat to our sovereignty and the tariffs and whatnot. And yes, to Bob's point, we did put all of our eggs in the same basket with regards to the market that the United States was for this country. And we can clearly see that Mark Carney is traveling the world and trying to diversify and so on and so forth. What about Mark Carney, Liz, and even Doug Ford, nicknamed Captain Canada, their leadership throughout all of the Donald Trump era?
Yeah, well, I think that Doug Ford will, you know, remain in the history books for the way he did stand up for Ontario, for Canada. I think a lot of Canadians really appreciated his perspective on it and his strength around it. And that was, you know, not even necessarily his job, right, to do that. We won't talk about the ad that he made because I'm not a fan of that. But apart from everything else, I thought he did pretty well, you know, dealing with a very unpredictable force, not really knowing what's going to trigger someone like Donald Trump. And I think Mark Carney, you know, obviously there are people who are criticizing him to say, why is it it's, you know, almost 2026. We don't have, we don't have the tariffs that we would like. We haven't renegotiated the way we would like. We're still, you know, some of our industries are still going to feel a lot of pain. I think realistically, though, nothing was going to happen overnight. And it's sort of like slow and steady wins the race. I see Mark Carney as the slow and steady one who's being strategic and thoughtful. And I really think he knows what he's doing. If I can just go back to one more thing with the Blue Jays, though, if it's all right.
Sure.
Thank you. I wanted to add that, you know, Triumph, the band Triumph, one of their songs was played during the World Series, and it reinvigorated their career to the point where they're going out on a big tour in 2026, because suddenly their old fans were excited, and they made new fans. And I think that that's such a great story. They're a Toronto band. They're a strong, you know, Canadian rock band from Toronto, but really who've been pretty much retired for, I think, 25, 30 years. And they're going to hit the road, and they're working really hard to get themselves ready to do it. I mean, we also have Rush hitting the road. And didn't they play Rush during the Maple Leafs, the hockey season? They had one of their songs played like crazy. And I think it just sort of feeds into this, we have so much talent here in the country. Mm-hmm. And we now have been way more introspective in looking at what we have to offer. And we have so much to offer. And instead of being in the shadow of the big brother south of the border, which is, you know, we are always like, well, we're 1/10 of the U.S., right? We're not 1/10 of the U.S. anymore. And so if there's a silver lining to the horror that has taken shape since last January, it is that we have put on our big boy pants and realized that we need to stand tall as ourselves as Canadians. And I think we're doing a pretty good job right now.
I love that you brought up the Triumph story, Liz, because they were also inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. And Andy and I on the morning Zoom had the opportunity to interview the band member Mike Levine ahead of their induction, along with Rick Emmett and Gil Moore. And that was a really special and meaningful conversation. So I do appreciate that you're talking about Triumph, the songwriters, the band, I mean, and that they were part of the whole experience for us with the Blue Jays. Absolutely. I just want to revisit or continue talking about Doug Ford as Captain Canada. And David, I do want to talk about your new poll as well, the federal poll. But the way Doug Ford positioned himself, I mean, that got him elected in that early election call, which caught Bonnie Crombie, for one, off guard completely, to the point where she is moving out as Liberal leader. So how important was the timing around that for Doug Ford to be able to continue his majority government for as much as five more years?
I think it was hugely important. And we'll have a new survey out on Friday about provincial politics, but the story remains much the same. It's not that Ontarians, think Doug Ford is overwhelmingly doing a good job. If you compare his approval ratings to Mark Carney's approval ratings, they're quite different. Mr. Carney is in positive territory. Mr. Ford is in really negative territory. But despite that, he's built this brand, and people think they know what they're going to get with him. And despite the fact they might disagree with him on a whole bunch of issues, they're more than happy to support him. So it's a very strange, weird dichotomy that he's got set up for himself. But it worked this spring, and he got another majority government.
Yeah. And it really was incredible. Do you make this, or do you think about this, Bob? Doug Ford, Captain Canada, winning a majority election. Is that part of the feel-good memories of 2025?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily part of my feel-good memories, but I can understand why it would be for a lot of people. Look, he is probably the most talented politician we have in the country at the moment. But he strikes a chord with people, and you like him. I thought he did a good job on the national on the tariffs issue, dealing with the U.S. issue. He stepped in when there was kind of a bit of a vacancy. Prime Minister Trudeau was on his way out. Carney wasn't quite on his way in yet. And I thought he provided a necessary and a really good service. And I say kudos to him. Do I think he is the best premier we've ever had? I would say stats will tell you otherwise. You know, there's lots of work to do in health, lots of work to do in housing, education, the economy, a whole variety of different things that I think is not his bag, if I can put it that way. But man, does this guy connect well with people?
Yeah.
And on that basis, I think he's done. I think he's done a pretty good job. Carney, on the other hand, is more more of a technocrat. And he provides good, steady governing. So I would say he's more of a governor, and Ford is maybe more of a kind of a populist-style politician would be the way I would define the two.
Okay, David. And by the way, I'm with David Valentin. That's Bob Richardson there. Liz West is joining us as well. Jane for Libby here on Zoomer Radio's Fight Back. So your poll. Any surprises in your poll? Maybe a quick recap, David, on the federal scene and how people are perceiving and approving of Mark Carney's performance.
Sure. Well, we're wrapping up the year, of course. And last week we found a tie between the Liberals and the Conservatives. So since the election, the Liberals have pretty much led in every single survey. Last week, we got into a situation where they were tied with the Conservatives at 39%. This week, the Liberals have expanded their lead to 2 points. The Conservatives are down a point. The Liberals are up a point. That creates a gap of 2. What's interesting, actually, though, is that this survey, where the Liberals are leading, is worse for them than the last survey, where they were tied. And the reason is because the way that we elect our parliaments, the regional numbers, the numbers for Quebec, British Columbia, and Ontario, they have more to do with who wins and who loses than the national numbers. So even though the national number is better, the situation is getting worse and worse for the Liberals in Quebec, where the Bloc Québécois have surged. They're above 30%. Parti Québécois looks like it might form government next year. They're promising another referendum. And in British Columbia, the Liberals have been leading there for the last few months. Now it's the Conservatives who are leading, and the NDP number is crawling back up there. Mm-hmm. So it's creating a bit of a situation for them where, even though their national number might be strong, the regionals are getting weaker.
Do you see moving forward into the new year, David, any momentum around unseating Pierre Poilievre? I know that's a crystal ball question, but based on the two floor crossings in recent weeks and a little bit of unsettled feelings in his caucus, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to know what's going to happen because he's got this leadership review coming up at the end of the month. I think for the last few weeks and time period, we've seen that Mr. Poilievre has been more focused on the conservative movement and campaigning towards them than he has been necessarily campaigning to Canadians as a whole. So what will be interesting to see is if he survives this review, will he pivot and begin casting his eyes towards the suburbs here in Toronto, the suburbs in Vancouver, and southwestern Ontario, all places he really has to grow support.
Liz, your take on the federal scene and the recent polling numbers on how Canadians are feeling about the government and the prime minister.
Yeah, I don't love that it's so close in the numbers between the Liberals and the Conservatives. And, you know, it just reminds me of the U.S. election and how close it's been between the Democrats and the Republicans. And I feel like that just... So it tells us that our society is very divided, and I don't like that feeling at all. So that's really my take.
Okay. A couple of things I wrote down, and one you can all have a good laugh about, but did we feel good about Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry, Liz?
You know what? I was going to bring that up. I do get a kick out of that. I don't know why exactly, but I think it definitely leans towards, feel good versus feel bad. I don't feel bad about that. That's
no,
for sure.
No. David, what are your thoughts? Justin Trudeau moving on, finding new love, a lot of eye rolling from people who never liked Justin Trudeau to begin with. But I'm kind of in Liz's camp as well. I always, it is a feel good when somebody finds love, even if the love is fleeting. We don't know what this relationship is going to turn into, but just the evolution of Justin Trudeau has been interesting to watch.
Yeah, and this is someone who's lived his whole life under the spotlight. And he didn't ask for it, by the way. That's just how things sort of turned out. And then he definitely did ask for a portion of it when he went into politics. But for me, I'm glad he found someone. I'm glad she's happy, he's happy. His son, Xavier, has launched his music career. I hope that goes well, too. If he's out there representing Canada in whatever capacity he has now, and he's found love along the way, that sounds good to me.
Bob Richardson, Justin Trudeau well, I would say. What do you think about all of this?
Well, I'm delighted for him, and I hear through mutual friends and others that he's quite smitten. So I say good for him, and I hope things worked out. And he's a good dad, he's a good person, and he's kind of mentally moved on, which is good. The person who needs a little therapy in Ottawa is the leader of the opposition who can't stop going on and on about Justin Trudeau. And he's now been gone for over a year. So I think that's a bit of a problem. I wanted to make one quick comment on David's poll, which I thought was excellent nationally across the board. I think it underestimates Liberal support, and for two reasons. One, the Quebec Liberal Party is an absolute mess, and that dragged down the Liberal support numbers in the province of Quebec with the same name and the crossover with the former leader. And the Ontario Liberal Party is an absolute mess, changing its leader unnecessarily, in my opinion, mid-course, and being leaderless right now. Boy, does Doug Ford have horseshoes. So I think both of those factors hurt the National Liberal Party. And I think when it gets focused on Carney versus Poliev. I'm fairly confident with what the numbers would be there.
Okay, and just to wrap up our discussion, and I've really enjoyed it, we're all Torontonians. What did we all think? It certainly was a feel-good story for me. The Gardner rehabilitation between Dufferin and Strawn finishing 18 months earlier than the original date, Liz.
Well, because I was suffering every day taking it, I am thrilled that it cleared up early. And I say to myself, how is it that that can magically happen? It took a lot of moaning and groaning and, people not being satisfied with the idea that a piece of highway could be closed for, what, 2.5 years. So it's like, come on, we need to approach all of our major infrastructure repair programs this way. We need to be able to turn them around faster because the traffic is impossible in the city. So I think it was good, but I think it better be the how things are going to continue.
Right, the norm as opposed to the exception.
Exactly.
David, do you take the Gardner, and how happy were you about that?
I don't take the Gardner. I'm very jealous of you all. I live off of Eglinton, so... You know, my New Year's wish is that they open this crosstown and that doesn't stop working when there's snow on the ground.
Right.
That is my wish. We'll see if I get it or not. Been waiting for a long time. Maybe this year is the year. Who knows?
Oh, gosh. We all hope so. For all of you there and all the businesses and the residents along the side streets. Bob, the gardener, was that good news for you?
Totally agree with Liz on this one. I'm delighted it happened. I'm glad it's fixed and reopened. This should never take that amount of time. And it's more of an indictment of government and the length of time they take on these projects than it's something that should be congratulated.
Okay, we will leave it there. If I don't see or talk with any of you before Wednesday night at midnight, Happy New Year, and I look forward to chatting with you in 2026.
Thanks, Jane.
Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year to you too, Jane.
Okay, Liz. I'll see you in the halls here at the ZP. Host of the Afternoon Express on Zoomer Radio, David Valentin, Principal at Liaison Strategies, and Bob Richardson, Public Affairs Consultant. It is Jane for Libby, and coming up in the second half of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, consumer trends, past and future, with our friend and consumer advocate, Ellen Roseman.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Oh, no. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio with guest host Jane Brown.
Hang on, I just got to put on my glasses. And Ellen and I are chatting. So we have this conversation at the end of every year here on Fight Back. In fact, I think we can say it's a tradition when consumer advocate Ellen Roseman takes a look back at the top consumer trends of the past year and a look ahead to what might make the list for the next year. And it's extra special this year because Ellen is joining us in person. Thank you for visiting us at the Zoomerplex.
Yeah, it's a nice drive coming over.
Come right on into that microphone. Own that microphone, Ellen.
Okay, so I don't need this.
You can wear the headset or not. Okay. We don't have our phone lines at the moment, but we do have our text line. If you'd like to add a comment, call 866-74... Don't call. Text, Jane. 866-744-740. Text 866-744-740. Ellen, how has your holiday season been so far?
So far, so good. The weather's been horrible.
Yeah.
And I found anybody who goes outside for a nice walk ends up either slipping and falling or just being horrified by all that ice that's covered up with snow.
Yeah.
You can't see it. You only know once you start sliding along it.
Do you walk a dog or do you walk yourself?
Myself.
Yeah, well, that's good advice, actually, because a lot of people are out walking at this time of year just to get some fresh air. Let's start out first by talking about what makes a consumer trend.
Okay.
Like the definition of a consumer trend.
Definitely, you'd have to say not only for Ontario or Canada or the U.S., but everybody's looking at their grocery bill.
Yeah.
You know, is it too high? Are they shopping well enough? Are the grocers doing enough to help us save money? And there's been a lot of work down in Ottawa with various parliamentary committees bringing in the CEOs of the three big Canadian chains. You know, we don't have a huge competitive landscape here. So we have Loblaws, Metro, and Empire, which owns Sobeys. And the committee looking into it, this was a couple of years ago, it wasn't last year, but we were still coping with very high food inflation. They didn't like Galen Weston Jr., who was there to represent his chain, and they felt that he was being evasive and not giving good answers. And what was good for consumers is that the committee, and I guess the parliamentarians, got together and said, we would like to speak to someone else other than Galen Weston Jr. next time we do this. And they brought in someone from Europe. His name is Per Bank.
Yes.
And he seems to be doing really well.
What do you like about how he's conducting business?
Well, I shop there because there are many near me that I can shop at, but also that I like their private brands. They're No Name and President's Choice, and they have big variety of things. And what they started doing pretty soon after was to create a special thing called Hit of the Month. And they take whatever it was that was not an exotic food product of any sort. They started with Kraft Dinner, but they had a special where you were getting it for the equivalent of about, I don't know, 50 cents to a dollar. You'd buy it in a big package. And then they had those cookies that have chocolate on top of marshmallow puff cookies, and they were around. And now it's these great soft drinks, San Pellegrino.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've got orange and lemon and what do you call it? Pomegranate. Mm-hmm. So they are, and also, it really brought me back to my childhood where my mother was always collecting stamps and putting them in books. And when she got to a certain amount, she'd get a prize. So Loblaws is doing that, but it's trying to combine little tiny sticker kind of things to put on a piece of paper or electronic. And it doesn't always work. And I signed up for the first one, but by the time I had enough to get whatever it was that I needed, they'd run out.
Oh, okay. So yeah. They've got some kinks to work out.
That's right.
And you know, you're mentioning about the stamps and incentives and so on. I'm wondering, just with the higher price of food, so much more so than before the pandemic, are shoppers overall becoming smarter? Is that a trend that we're seeing? So, you know, I'm thinking, I also shop at Loblaws, uh-huh. But I try to buy everything on sale, and I try to optimize my optimum points.
Yes.
And I really feel like I'm winning as a result of being educated, as opposed to just going in and buying whatever I want and not thinking about it.
Yeah. It's gotten more confusing because it used to be you just looked at the sign of the, you know, what the price is. Loblaws often has trouble with the signage because things move around. And the shelf signage might not actually correspond with what's above it on the shelf. So you might have to go to customer service and ask to see what the real price is. But yeah, in general, I think people are realizing that supermarkets tend to be different. Even the various ones that Loblaws has, they now have T&T on Dundas, where the world's biggest bookstore used to be. And if you like Chinese food or Chinese ingredients, if you want to make your own cooked Chinese meals, it's a fun place to be and also to stay and eat. It's like a restaurant there.
Mm, okay. So moving on, I mean, we could talk about food for the entire segment,
yeah.
And cost of food and all of that. But interesting number two on your list, and also very promising, telecom prices appear to be coming down in Canada. And I recently had a firsthand experience with this, renegotiating with my provider for, it was coming up on December 19th, home phone, internet, and wireless and cable and so on, right? And the price was actually less per month for the next 24 months than it was in the previous 24 months. I had to ask for clarification multiple times because I could hardly believe it. So what's going on with that?
The federal government, through the CRTC, has been very involved in this issue. They were not happy at all when Rogers proposed to take over Shaw, and make it a much bigger company. And it does add one more player to the mix, Freedom Mobile, which was owned by Telus at a certain point. And then now it's owned by Quebecor, which is a French Quebec owner. And the Videotron is the one that that now is more competitive, and we will probably see more of that going on. But in general, people are, I think, in many cases, not buying their phones either. They're renting them from the supplier, and at the end of the lease, I guess you'd say, you'd give it back and you'd pay some money back and you get a brand new phone. And I did that recently, but boy, it's hard work. You got to wait until everything gets transferred. For me, I think it was 2 or 3 days of going back and letting them continue to try and get it all transferred to
your
phone.
Yes, I did that as well in the last year, and so did my husband. So you really have to be invested in what it is you're shopping for, right? To get the best deals and make sure that you're the winner as opposed to the company, or at least that there's a collaboration in winning. Frauds and scams. We talk about that often on Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, because a lot of the time they're focused on older people who may not be, and this is a general statement, as savvy and as aware of a scam, allowing them to be the victim. So that continues, unfortunately, to be a trend.
Yeah, yeah. And we had one, a door-to-door call where there were 2 or 3 young men who said they were, you know, looking at the chimneys of people on the street, and they were way up there, and they could see something going on with our chimney, and it looked like it might be some kind of a fire or something. They weren't sure, and they had the ladder right on our porch too, as if they were going to start going up that ladder every 5 minutes. And then we read later they were from Ireland, and they were doing this all over the city. They were just trying to get people to believe them that they could, you know, fix their roofs in a very safe way.
Did you out them right away?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah. And did they go away quietly?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, it just everything is becoming, looks so authentic, so legitimate. And yet we just have to have our radar on all the time for somebody who may be scamming us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any guidance as we get into a new year for our mature audience? Good advice to make sure you're not a victim of a scam or fraud?
Yeah, we are all aware that AI can be used to duplicate or really credibly copy the logo, the voice, the photos. I was looking yesterday and there was a picture of, like a video of Justin Trudeau lying in what looked like a hospital bed with a big tummy as if he were pregnant, with Katy Perry next to him, and saying he didn't expect to be the birthday boy. We all know that he was born on Christmas Day, but it was just strange.
Right.
Yeah.
And all of that is looking so much more real, it seems like, every week. So just be aware. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't.
Right.
Right. Yes. Number 4 on your list of the top 5 consumer trends, the handling of consumer complaints against the big banks. And you talk about if you feel like you're being treated badly or taken for granted, I guess, by your banker, you can make a complaint to your bank's ombudsman. I did not know that until I read it here in your notes.
They have internal ombudsmen in all the banks, and then the one at the very top that you go to after if the bank turns you down.
Yeah. And so in what situation might you be treated badly, or what sort of trends are there around that in complaints from people who are banking?
Yeah, it could be something to do with your safety deposit box. Maybe it wasn't treated properly. Maybe somebody broke in. Banks like to give a lot of investing advice, and they're quite regulated in that area. But the people who have never used a financial advisor at a bank to buy funds or stocks or whatever might be quite surprised that they aren't as well regulated as they thought. So they then go to the ombudsman, and the ombudsman has the ability to just investigate it and figure out, you know, who is right and who is wrong, and they can make the decision, and they can also reward the consumer with amounts. I'm not sure if they raised the amount, but for a long time it was $3,500 that they could get back if there was something wrong. And this government brought in the independent ombudsman. It's called Ombudsman for Banking Services and Investments. And it's been around for 25 years. It's got a very good website. It's independent. It's not for profit. The people who work for OBSI and the staff and the building and all that stuff are paid for by the banks who are members of it and can have their disputes settled there. But as banks often are, they don't really trust the government, and they started pulling out of OBSI within, OBSI is the short name, I guess, for when it started, maybe 5 or 10 years after it started. The biggest bank in Canada, Royal, just said, okay, we don't like this, we're not happy with this, we're going to find our own dispute mediator. So they looked around and they found a firm called ADR Chambers, which is made up of, mostly of retired lawyers and judges, because they want to do mediation work as well. So it seemed to have worked okay for RBC, and then a year later, TD Bank did the same thing, and Scotiabank. But then three of the big five were out, but two were still in, the Bank of Montreal and CIBC. And many of the consumer groups in Canada kept saying, you have to have all the banks in there, because if the bank is able to opt out of using this mediator that everyone else uses just because of some vague, you know, reasons they have not to trust it, and then they shop around for the mediator that's going to give them the best results, how can we trust them?
Oh, okay. No, really good information, which a lot of people may not even be aware of. One more quick example, because Zoomers love to travel. And this was a challenging year with the Air Canada flight attendants strike, as well as the WestJet pilots poised to strike, leaving a lot of people uncertain about their travel in the final hours, final days. Some guidance about that as we move into 26.
You have to make sure you understand all the rules, which have been changing. It took a long time to get a set of passenger rights rules. And this fellow, Gabor Lukacs out of Halifax, he does a lot of work on it single-handedly. And
right. He's an occasional guest here.
And he's got a really good Facebook group that people go to, and a good website as well. But he gets very angry if he thinks that people aren't using their rights, or they're not giving, you know, the airlines a chance to help them before they go on and say it doesn't work. There's so many reasons why flights just aren't happening, and it can be difficult, but you should at least try. And the thing that gets people angry too is that if they have a good case and their airline isn't really willing to help them out, then they go to the Canadian Transportation Agency, which mediates these complaints. And it's got a backlog, which seems to vary in the range of 18 months to 2 years, which is a long time to
wait. It's a long time to wait. Yeah, I think that the overall theme of everything we've talked about here in the last 15, 20 minutes is just about reading the fine print, being aware, taking care of, you know, really just being aware of your rights and the benefits of being a consumer, right? Thank you so much, Ellen, for coming in.
Thanks, Jane. Nice to see you again.
Hope you too.
Have a good year.
Yeah, you as well.
Good.
And we will chat, I'm sure, many times in 26. Ellen Roseman, consumer advocate and journalist. It is Jane for Libby, and our time is running out, but I really want to get this segment in, the final segment of Fight Back. Are cold plunges good for you? Yes, New Year's Day is coming up. We discuss with an expert next.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.